been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, fresh off the bus from Pittsburgh, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, what a time it was. And I do have to state something that I just noticed. I apologize for all our fans for our technical difficulties, but I correlated something here. Season Skype. Playoff phone. You see a correlation here?
All right, so we just have to keep this going. This will help. This will help the luck of the Ravens, you know, going with the phone in the playoffs. You can't break anything. You can't do anything. You got to wear the same socks you were wearing before, but here we go. The Ravens still alive in the playoffs. We're going to talk about the Steelers game, but before we get into the deep stuff here, Josh, you got to tell me about your experience on the bus to Pittsburgh, what it was like to be in Pittsburgh for that game. Tell me what was going on.
Well, it was great. We had two full buses going to Pittsburgh, and it was just amazing, man. Just the fans and getting up there early. I mean, it was pouring down rain when we got there. We were excited. I was talking to a few fans who've been to Pittsburgh before, and they were saying, obviously, it was hostile. The bus ride was crazy, man. Our bus was a party bus. The fleet keeps going. We played the music. We played the songs at the stadium, from Lose Yourself to In the Air Tonight to We Them Boys to Seven Nation Army. We were doing the O-Tan. I didn't partake, but they were throwing around purple shots on the bus halfway and on the way there. And when we got to the parking lot, it was great. I met some good friends. And it was funny because they put Hot in here, Ray Lewis's anthem, when his dance. And I busted out the Ray Lewis helmet on the bus trips, and then I kind of did a mini version of the Ray Lewis dance in the aisle. It was pretty comical.
Nice, man. So what was the actual game like? What was it like being at Heinz Field? How were the fans? Did you meet any nasty people, or were people actually treating you nice? What was their reaction to you?
Well, their reaction to me, I actually had a lot of people on the street take pictures of me before going into the game. They were like, dude, that's hardcore. I went full regalia, shoulder pads, Ray Lewis helmet, my black everything, my red contacts. They loved it. I was taking pictures of everybody. Everybody was loving it. They were giving me looks. They're like, look at this guy. They appreciate my enthusiasm and coming up to their house and doing what I do best. And they were congratulating me on, you know, a job well done. Everybody was asking me where I got my helmet. A lot of Steelers fans were asking to see the helmet. So it was really fun. Even though they're the enemy, believe it or not, Brandon, as weird as it for me to say this, the Steelers fans around us were actually great. I'm not kidding you. I've seen some YouTube videos, and obviously I'm sure you've seen them floating around online, the one woman that blew her lid and was saying F2, this. It was pretty funny. They were all down low because I had a fan. There was a guy behind me who was practically like trash. He couldn't stand up. He was giving everybody crap, but the guy behind me was like, hey, you're here rooting your team hard. We're here rooting our team. And he was a young guy. He was a college student from, I think the University of Pitt. I forget his name, but it was pretty fun to be around. And even the girl behind me, she was giving me a hard time because she was from Florida. It was one of her boyfriends. Her boyfriend was a Steelers fan, so she was dressing like, she was a pretty looking, good looking chick. She was dressing like leggings and like the headband. And she was making fun of me because I believe it or not, I had one of those, you know, those like muff hand warmers, right? Like the ones that the players wear.
Yeah.
Like they're the quarterback. But she kept making fun of me. She kept saying, hey, look, he's got a fanny pack on. So I kept standing up, giving her a hard time. I said, this kid has a fanny pack on. This is a hand warmer to keep your hands warm. So she was giving me a hard time. And we were joking about what snowballs were. She didn't know what snowball was. The people in front of me were great. At the end, when they scored the second touchdown, you know, they were very passionate, and he even gave me a fist bump. And he goes, "What can you do, man? We got beat." The guy like beat the bench, and he was like, "What a division title wasted." I mean, it was kind of fun to see. The only experience outside the stadium was pretty scary, Brandon, and it was all right. I got out unscathed, but obviously I wore my helmet and walking out of stadium, but and going down the escalators, M&T Bank has stairs and, like, walkways, and Heinz Field has escalators, which is pretty, you know, it's like Camden Yards. Like, they have escalators taken to the lower levels and upper levels. Well, we were going down the escalator, and one of my friends yelled, looked out. I thought someone slapped my helmet. Apparently, someone threw a beer bottle at my helmet.
Really?
And, yes, and immediately, two Steelers fans behind me go, "Hey, dude, we're not like that." They're like, we are not like that. That guy's an a-hole. And I was like, he deserved what's coming to him. And I was just like, that was cool. I like looked behind me. I was all fuming. I was like, I hope he comes over. Is he get choke slammed into the concrete? Because I was fired up. But again, you know, luckily I have my helmet on. But, you know, even the Steelers fans were nice to me outside. I mean, they were like, boo, Ravens suck and all that. But it was your typical fanfare. But believe it or not, Heinz Field, being in a house environment, was really fun to be at. It was really weird to be standing there in front of a sea of yellow, in the midst of a sea of yellow swirling towels. It was very weird. I have to say that, but my experience was great. Our team did the talking. I didn't have to do much trash talk. It was great to see the stadium emptying out. 5 minutes left the game. Oh, my God, it was beautiful, bro. And I couldn't believe the way our team performed. And the experience there, the bus ride, and then on the way out, and then I didn't really celebrate till we got out in the bus, and then because I told my buddy, I was like, I'm not saying nothing till we get in, so I'll get my butt handed to me, and I got in the van, and I let out a big scream and high fives. I'm like, we did it, man. We were just, and the party bus, dude. I didn't get any sleep, dude. I didn't sleep from 5 a.m. that morning, and the bus got in at 6 a.m. and I went right to Sunday morning church. I didn't sleep a lick, bro.
Oh, man.
That bus was rocking the whole way home, man. We were at the red light, and the music was pumping, and we were rocking, and there's Steelers fans. We were waving to them at the street corner. It was pretty funny. But well, it was very it's different. Their stadium, I tell you right now, ours is superior, bro.
Really?
You know how my hatred of Heinz ketchup, I'll start with this. Well, the ketchup bottles, when they're in the red zone, the Steelers are, they light up red, and they dump ketchup onto the screen, and it says Heinz Red Zone. Very annoying. So I hate the ketchup even more. They only have one speaker, and it's at the far end of the stadium where their scoreboard is.
What?
And the lights, yes, I'm not kidding you, the lights are on the sides where I sat in the upper levels, and obviously you see my pictures. There's no lights above me, and it was like Friday night bleachers. It was bleachers like Lambeau Field.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't. Yeah, and when we got there, the seats were, like, full of water because they were cupped. But luckily, it did not rain the whole time, which was great. That was great.
Good, good. Well, it sounds like the trip in all was kind of a success. I mean, yeah, you ran into, like, one guy, but I'm not really going to attribute that to being a Steelers fan. I'm going to attribute it to more being a drunk guy that threw a beer can at you. But other than that, I mean, that's pretty cool that they were pretty cordial to you in enemy territory.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's okay to kind of, like, you know, razz somebody if they're wearing different colors than the team that you're there to support. But as long as you're, like, respectful to them and realize it's a game, that's really what's important. So, like, I got to give it to them. That was pretty cool that everybody was, except for, like, one or two people, were pretty nice to you. So that's cool. But let's get into this game here. Let's talk about it. First time the Ravens have beaten the Steelers in the playoffs, in the postseason. I want to start off by saying that the Ravens, you know, they were not favored to win this game. Everybody was kind of saying it would be a toss-up, like a 50-50 chance of who would come out on top. The Ravens dominated this game. The Ravens dictated the pace of this game. This was their game. The Steelers never had a handle on this game in any way. And if they play the way they played on Saturday, like they are, if they play like that against the Patriots this coming Saturday, that's going to be an even more interesting game to watch because, honestly, this game was all Ravens all the time. Everybody brought their A game. Everybody had something to prove, and they're the ones that made sure the Steelers knew their place. This was the Ravens' game to win, and they did it.
They did, man, and I was very impressed on how the team performed. I told my buddy when we were sitting there, I'm like, the team just, on offense, they were aggressive. They were moving up and down the field at will, and I'm like, wow, man. It was like I had no doubt that we were going to win the football game. It was one of those close games where you're like, you know, it was a 10-9 game. It was like, really, you guys got to score, two-score game. I tell you what, bro, when the momentum shifted, when Justin Forsett fumbled that football, I mean, I hate to go right to that fumble, but I tell you what, man, my buddy grabbed me by the jersey. He's like, dude, we're going to lose this game. And I'm like, be positive. And he's like, bro, you know how these games are. He's like, it happens. We lose these type of games. When that happens, the momentum, Steelers happen. And what happened? Three plays later, they were in the end zone, and they were nearly there in two plays with Antonio Brown being open amongst three Ravens. And it was almost, like, very comical. Like, and then they almost converted the two-point conversion. If they'd have done that, that place would have went wild. And the place was loud at the beginning of the game in the pregame introductions. But after that, right at that fumble, the place went nuts, obviously. And I think we snagged the momentum back when Matt Elam picked off the I think it was Matt Elam, if my memory serves correct, at the game, that picked off the two-point conversion in the end zone. It was like we snatched right back, and we went right down the field and scored again. It was all she wrote, bro. And another crucial point of the game was the what's dubbed as the leg interception, or the immaculate interception, as people are calling it. And how about Suggs' incredible interception in between his thighs, man? That was pretty incredible.
You know what I've started to call Suggs now?
What?
Knee sizzle.
There you go. Perfect. Knee sizzle. I'm sure he'll like that when he probably get a chuckle if he were around. And I thought it was incomplete. I watched the highlights and the game, the replay of the game at home when I got back, and I've seen scenes differently on TV, but I thought it was incomplete. And then when they were pointing Ravens' ball, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, what? And then it was just celebration, and then when they went right down and scored a touchdown, it was just game over, bro. It was the way this offense executed the line, they protected Flacco. He was drilling the ball. January Joe is what we're dubbing him. I can't say enough. And John Harbaugh said it best in the post-game conference. Man, I'm fired up. He said that Joe Flacco is the best quarterback in football. Brandon, I couldn't agree with more, man. I'm fired up. I am ready. We shouldn't even be here, as people are saying, and yet we're in the final eight yet again. Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh, 6 out of 7 years, have won a playoff game. Joe Flacco is the first quarterback in history to do so. And I want to throw out some numbers before we cover some more of the game. Brandon, how about this? Believe it or not, the Ravens-Steelers was the second most watched playoff game.
I believe it. I believe that.
It was actually second. There were 28 million viewers, and it was second to only the 33.3 million who saw the Jets and the Indianapolis Colts on January 8, 2011. It's pretty unique, man. We were obviously, people were tuning in. It's a division rivalry. We had them, and it was just great to see. Obviously, Bill being out was a factor because they could not run the football, man. They had no running game. Miller and Antonio Brown gave it fits, but we contained them when it mattered the most, and the Ravens were just they performed in all phases, bro. They dominated the division rival, and it took into a first win ever in Heinz Field in the playoffs, and what a glorious win it was, bro.
It was a really great win. I mean, let's talk about a little bit about this defense here. Terrell Suggs, like we said, with that interception, great job there. But Elvis Dumervil, Terrell Suggs, C.J. Mosley, all those guys did a great job. Haloti Ngata, definitely, you know, you felt the fact that he was back. He was playing for a purpose here to prove that that it was his fault for missing those last four games. He was going to prove himself to this team of why he should be on the Ravens for a while, and he did a great job. He absolutely did his job, what he was supposed to do. The Steelers looked confused. They looked puzzled. It looked like they weren't ready to play that game, and the Ravens definitely came to play. You can tell on every one of their faces that this was a big game. To jump over to offense real quick, we talked about it last week, and I said how Steve Smith really has to, you know, he has to prove what he can do in the postseason, because after week four, you know, he kind of slid down a little bit. His production wasn't as good as it might have been, you know, because he is an older guy. Maybe the weeks have been grueling on him. But Steve Smith, they put out a Vine before the game, and you see, like, Steeler fans taunting the Ravens, and Steve Smith is focused. I mean, he's angry. You can see it on his face. He's got his game face on. He is ready to go. And Steve Smith completely came through this time around. He did great in this game. game when Joe Flacco threw to him. Steve Smith was the one that was catching the ball. He was doing a great job. I was so impressed with his play and what he did with Joe. I think if they can keep this up, those two will be doing even more this coming Saturday up against the Patriots. This could be a very dangerous duo to have in the postseason. I think Steve Smith kind of proved what he can do.
Absolutely, man. And that was going into the pregame discussions on Steve Smith and this rivalry. You know, obviously everybody's been joking that he stepped down since the Panthers game. And boy, did he step up in a big, huge way. He made some incredible catches out there. He ran some great routes. There was a beautiful ball, and I can see where I was sitting when Joe Flacco threw a fade route, and Steve Smith just ran behind the defensive back, and Joe Flacco just threw it out there. Steve Smith went up and grabbed it, and it was a beautiful, beautiful ball. Could be more impressed with the execution. And, again, with the offensive line blocking for Joe to allow Steve Smith to deliver the ball to Steve Smith, Forsett ran with some purpose. Even though he did have another off night, he did have some good runs in there. I'd like to see the running game get going because Forsett's going to be a big piece coming up. But with the execution of Steve Smith getting involved, and how about Owen Daniels, man? And Crockett Gilmore stepping up in the asses of Dennis Pitta. I mean, everybody's writing us off that, you know, all the Steelers are making excuses that, oh, well, we didn't have Bell. And, you know, what about the Ravens? You know, they didn't have Jimmy Smith, one of arguably the best corners in the league. They didn't have Dennis Pitta, one of the top 10 tight ends in the league, top 5 tight ends could be. What about our weapons that we are missing? And yet we still keep winning, man. This team has always been, you hurt our starters, it doesn't matter. I mean, what happened? Ray Lewis goes down most of the year in the Super Bowl year, and we ended up going to the playoffs. He comes after the playoffs and wins title. I mean, you know, Webb was down that whole year, too. I mean, we've been missing key guys all the time. I mean, Suggs went down, and we ended up holding our own. I mean, it happened, man. So with this team, it's always been next man up, and these guys have stepped up tremendously, and I was very, very impressed with the way they performed on the road. And again, a 10th playoff win on the road, this team, they're actually tied, believe it or not, they're tied with the Packers with road playoff wins. The Ravens did in 17, 18 years what the Packers took 94 seasons to do. They've been around 94 years. So just think about that, man. Think about how successful this franchise is in winning road playoff games. And when you say running on the road, it means, yes, we're always a low seed. Yes, we just sneak in the playoffs. We never get home playoff games at home. You know what? I'm fine with that. I'm fine with going on the road and going to hostile environments because, you know what? For me as a fan, it was fun. For me, rooting my team hard, it was fun. It was fun me seeing the Ravens Nation line up at the Ravens sideline. And obviously, I didn't get down there in time because by the time they congregated, I was already at the level. The game would have been well over by the time I got down there. I would have planned it sooner. But it's just great to see. It was great to see everybody emptying out the stadium. All the Ravens fans left cheering and hollering and hooping and high-fiving. That's what it's about. Yes, it's about being at the home crowd, the 12th man, Brandon, but when it's said and done, there was nothing like it, and I'm sure seeing it on TV was even as awesome as it was in person.
Yeah, you know, I was down at McHenry Row at the Green Turtle. I was enjoying the game there with plenty of Raven fans, and
I was going to ask you where you were.
Yeah, I went down there. It definitely was a crowded time because UFC was going on at the same time. But
yeah, it was a great fight too. You got John Bones Jones fighting as well, so
yeah,
it was a great fight night.
And the place was rocking. I mean, everybody from like the opening of the game, everyone was like, "We're going to win this. We're going to beat the Steelers." There was so much confidence, and then once it actually happened, the place just went nuts. Great, great environment. Great place to watch a game.
Well, tell the Green Turtle at McHenry Row to carry a confidence on Saturday because apparently the Patriots are scared, is what I'm hearing.
That's what I think they should be. But so let's jump into it. Again, the Ravens completely dominated the Steelers in this postseason. They were able to get that monkey off their back of the fact that they never beat the Steelers in the postseason or the playoffs. So that's off their back. They don't have to worry about that anymore. They did what they were supposed to do. So now here we go. The Ravens are going to Foxborough, up to the Patriots, up to New England.
And the Ravens are actually believe it or not, like you said something about getting the monkey off their back. We've already gotten the monkey off our back in Foxborough, so there's nothing new there, man. Everybody's confident because of that, because we've been there before. The only difference is, and we want to cover this, we didn't see Gronk the last time. Remember that.
That's true. That's very true. So this is something I found interesting. A lot of people are actually picking the Ravens to beat the Patriots this week. I don't like that because the Ravens like to be the underdog. The Ravens, they kind of thrive on that to kind of prove people wrong. But a lot of people are saying the Patriots are going to have some trouble with this team, that the Patriots don't want to face the Ravens because the Ravens are kind of unpredictable right now. So I'm very intrigued to see what will happen this season, this this game coming up, because people are actually picking the Ravens to win it. But the Ravens, I think they know what to do. There was another stat that came out earlier this week that the Patriots in the postseason have had great luck, and they've beaten almost every single team they've been up against except for the Ravens. It seems as if John Harbaugh has the number for the Patriots in the postseason, because if you remember, I don't remember how many years ago, but Ray Rice, that opening drive, he ran, you know, what was it, the entire football field?
Yeah, 83 yards.
83 yards, there you go. He ran it all the way in, and the Patriots never recovered from that. Then you have, of course, the year of the Cundiff kick, where the Patriots barely got out of there, and if it wasn't for Cundiff, you know, the game could have gone a little bit longer.
Or they haven't told on the football, but we already know.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, the Ravens went up against the Patriots again, and they were able to come out with a win. And I don't know what it is about the Ravens, or about John Harbaugh, but it seems as if the Patriots continually have a hard time against this team in the postseason. I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do to try to battle the Ravens. But for me, I think the Ravens proved this past Saturday that they're a very strong team. Even though they don't have a lot of their starters, like you said, they are still making do with what they have. And they do have a lot of strong tools. Joe Flacco, Justin Forsett, Steve Smith, you know, Haloti Ngata, Terrell Suggs, Elvis Dumervil, C.J. Mosley. There's a lot of power here. I don't know what the Patriots are going to have to do to try to shut that down, but the Ravens right now, they're definitely going to – this is going to be a very hard-fought game that the Ravens are going to have to play, but I don't think the Ravens would like to have it any other way.
I don't think so either, man, and not to mention that the thriller in M&T Bank where Torrey Smith went off after the loss of his brother. And, you know, that regular season game, which was a Sunday night football game. So if you look back, I mean, apart from the playoffs and the regular season, the Ravens still have a winning streak going on against the Patriots. Man, they haven't beaten us since the 2011 AFC title game at the end of that season. And or the 2000 and the end of that season again. So and then obviously we beat them in the regular season. And so with the postseason and the regular season success, you're right, Brandon. John Harbaugh has a winning formula, and with the way this team plays, you know, the Patriots are that finesse team. You know, yeah, they got Gronk smashed, and yeah, they got Tom Brady, but the Ravens are that physical team to where the Patriots do not like to play like that. They remind me more like Denver. It's, you know, they move the ball methodically down the field. They're dink and dunk. They're very rhythmatic in their approach. And the Ravens, it's just, they go out and just get it done. And with the, you know, the pass rush of Suggs, Dumervil, Mosley, and it was even covered by NFL Network. NFL Network made a point to say that in the later years of Ray Lewis, and I even admit, he was a liability on third down and pass rush because he couldn't cover the tight ends. I mean, it showed even the Super Bowl, Vernon Davis blew right by him more times than not. Whereas C.J. Mosley would be able to cover, let's say, a Gronk or, let's say, an Edelman coming across the middle. I mean, Mosley can have that size and the speed to keep up these guys. So I believe that the matchups now, not saying that this team's a better team than years past and when we faced them, but they're younger and fresher, I should say. And I think they have the tools and the personnel to get it done, man. And I'm not scared at all. I mean, if this was Peyton Manning, I'll probably be like, you know what? Yeah, let's be a little skeptical. Is this Peyton Manning, and he does have the Ravens number, even though we did beat him? He did take him on a miracle, and obviously, you know, that was a play. But, you know, Patriots, you're right. I have the full confidence in the world to be in another AFC game with this team, and I cannot wait. And not only that, but I was going to wait till the end of the show to bring it to you, but being fired up about it, I am unprecedented. I had to go again. Yours truly is going to New England this weekend, my friend.
Man, they can't keep you in this city when the Ravens are out of town. Jeez.
No, sir. Two road games in a row. This will be my record road game of the year, and we're going to Foxborough. We loaded up the same bus, the same friends I made on the same bus, and we're going up in style, bro. Foxborough, here we come.
Very cool, man. That's good. I'm gonna hold down the fort here for you. But wow, that is pretty great that you get to go up there once again. So you're going? Are you taking a bus the same day and then coming back the same right after the game?
I am. It was a deal. Couldn't resist. And I thought about driving because, believe it or not, I do have a cousin who lives in the hour outside stadium. I was gonna make a weekend out of it, but I heard that the polls up north kill us. They're worse than Maryland, and it just would have been insane trying to drive and do polls. So I figured, hey. Let the bus driver do the driving, and then let me party with some Ravens fans on the way up and on the way back. And the bus leaves at 5:30 a.m. sharp when Saturday morning, so I'm going to be up at like 3 a.m. getting my gear ready. So,
oh my gosh,
yeah, it's going to be a brutal trip.
You know what? I will completely say this with all kinds of I'm okay with saying this. You're a way bigger Ravens fan than I am. You have way more heart than I do because I love this team, but I am not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to support them. I'm sorry.
Hey, you can put that on record any way you want to spin it, Brandon. I appreciate that, but I wanted to break at the end, but I'm too excited, man, and I really can't wait to see what the Ravens bring to this matchup. I really think it's just, again, they set up for us, man. What way, the better way to take down the number one seed in the AFC home field advantage, and Tom Brady thinks they're going for another 4 straight AFC title game, but we're going to go for 3 out of 4, and I think the Ravens had the formula to do it. And firmly believe that with their opponent, I think we're going to be playing the Broncos, and the title team is my gut. I'd like to see us match up against the Colts. That'd be a dream matchup because I think we'll walk right into the Super Bowl, and that would be insane. But let's take care of business in the division round. I really can't wait to get it done. But again, the keys to the game, man. You know, it all starts with the line, man. If the Sox do move, they can get pressure. If they can get pressure on Brady, disrupt his timing, if they can contain Gronk, contain the running game, and the Ravens can do what they've done in Pittsburgh and just pull full throttle to the metal, be very aggressive, the Ravens will end up on top, and they'll be the AFC representative with the last AFC team standing, or one of the two, I should say, in the title game come Championship Sunday. And it's going to be unprecedented, man, and I really can't wait to see it. Fired up, man. I'm fired up for going to Foxborough. It's going to be cold and clear. I think it's supposed to be like high of 22 degrees or something. Like, I don't know what's going on there. It's cold down here, so ain't nothing like we're not used to it. But we got more than enough capabilities to handle it, and I think the Ravens have what it takes, my friend.
Yeah, so let me talk to you real quick about this before we end the show here. Tom Brady, he's a very different animal than Ben Roethlisberger is. So we were talking about it last week about how the Ravens had to get to Ben quick. They had to, you know, try to get him on his butt as quickly as possible because the secondary is questionable for the Ravens, even though they did a pretty good job this past week. What do the Ravens have to do to make sure that Tom Brady isn't so Tom Brady, I guess, in this game, because he usually has a lot of time in the pocket and he can usually make those long ball plays, or Tom Brady is one of the best quarterbacks of this modern era. So how do you shut down a guy who has that kind of reputation being one of the best in the world? Is it the same thing? Just get to him as quickly as possible, or does he have more tools than Ben did? Like, what are they going to have to do to make sure that Brady is kind of thrown off his game?
Well, I would say he's got more tools. I mean, he's got the weapons. Each team is unique. Obviously, Pittsburgh being in the AFC North, and, the Patriots play a different type of ball. Tom Brady, he's an all-world, all-pro quarterback, Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, 3-time Super Bowl champion. The guy gets it done. He has numerous records, and since he's been broken, if not, he's going to re-break them. The dude's a monster. He's an all-star. He's a stud. I'll sing his praises all day long. Him and Gronk are amazing, and we got to stop him. And the way to disrupt their plans is to get in his wheelhouse and disrupt timing. Make him run. You know, you want to make Tom Brady lose, make him uncomfortable. Make him back there, and I've seen the losses. I mean, the Chiefs blew out the doors off from 45-7. It can be done. The Packers beat them. It can be done. Get him off his timing. The same thing with Joe Flacco. You rattle Joe, Joe's Joe average. Don't rattle Joe, Joe's Joe cool. And the way is just make sure you stay in your lanes. Don't let him make plays with his feet. And if you can get Tom Brady panicking, I think it's going to be a long day for that offense, man.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'm worried about with the Patriots is what Tom Brady will be able to do. Like we all know that the secondary is not what we originally thought it would be when the season started, but still that they've kind of proven this past week that they are pretty good at what they're doing. What about on offense? Does Joe need a lot of time? Are we going to see more running game, do you think, up against the Patriots? Or is Joe going to be able to use his Torrey Smith, Steve Smith, Owen Daniels, Marlon Brown receivers? Is he going to be able to throw the ball more than you think Joe might be able to?
No, I think he'll be able to throw the ball more. I think this line's more than capable of handling the pass rush from the Patriots. I don't think their defense is awesome. I've already heard that Joe Flacco's not scared of Revis Island. I know Revis will be on Steve Smith accordingly and Torrey. I don't know if he'll be lined up one-on-one or just wherever, but I know that statistically, historically, Steve Smith and Torrey Smith, both Smiths, have had bad track records against Revis, and you can't go that. You got to throw that out the window, and it's a different ball game. It's winner take all. Loser goes home for the season. Winner advances to the ACC game. We know what's at stake. The stakes couldn't be any higher right now. I think this team's going to attack. I think with the offense, as long as they execute the way they do and be very aggressive, that's all I've heard all week is QBX game plan was aggressive. It was just relentless, raving football and offense, and that's how. And I think we were just used to seeing that because all season we were inconsistent. But, again, it's January, Joe. What happens is the last five playoff games, Joe Flacco was 5-0 with 13 touchdowns, zero picks. Over 100 passer rating in each. I think of the average is about 116 in each. And he's thrown for 1,399 yards, completed the 91 balls to his receivers, according to those five playoff wins. And now he's the current longest active winning streak in the playoffs right now in the NFL, dating back to 2012, the last time they were in, when they won four straight games. So Joe Flacco and his offense, again, I put my chips all on January Joe. If this was a roulette wheel and I had to put money on black and money on red, I'll put money in black on Joe Flacco and not on the red of Tom Brady, because January Joe gets it done. I mean, he has a 10-4 career playoff record. He's got 10 road playoff wins, where he's got road playoff wins. You can just count them against Tom Brady's five. So he's got the most road playoff wins of any quarterback in this league right now. Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning included. There's a reason for that. Obviously, it means these other quarterbacks had better regular seasons, but what it means is Joe gets it done on the road. And a lot of times on the road in the regular season, that was our Achilles heel. We can never win the big games on the road. It was always at home. And even we got stink bit on the road or even at home. But you know, we had the Chargers game. We had the Bengals bit us. So it happens at home too sometimes, but not more often than not. And the Ravens boast one of the best postseason records ever in NFL history, team-wise. And I think that it tickles me to death about this franchise. And I fully believe, confident, with a final score of 27-20, the Ravens get it done.
I'm right there with you. I think the Ravens will be able to come out with another win this week. The Patriots, they are a great team. They definitely deserve to be where they are right now. But Harbaugh, I think Harbaugh's got the Patriots' number. I think he knows how to play against a team like this. It seems as if he was made to take on Tom Brady and Big Bill up there. So we'll see what happens this Saturday. But for all my money, you know, I'm going all in, saying the Ravens will be able to come out with another win this coming Saturday.
Right.
The Patriots there is no history of them being able to beat the Ravens. The Ravens just they have the Patriots' number. I think even the way the Ravens are shaped right now, they still can take down the Patriots just like they have in the past. So I can't wait for the game on Saturday. I've been counting down. I'm still wearing purple every day this week, so I'm ready to go. So Josh, did we miss anything for this episode?
For this divisional round episode, Brandon, I'm going to say not a chance, and with that, this is the best job I've ever had, man.
Best job I ever had, that's right.
Let's hope this playoff run doesn't end this weekend, and let's root hard. And I wanted to drop something with you guys, and hopefully it'll be all right. I was going to drop it live on the show, but Brandon, you remember the parody, the Brady parody of last year, Bring on Brady?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a different version for this year, and believe it or not, and I was going to see if it was okay with you if you want to add this flavor to the show for this week, but I posted on my Facebook page. It's on YouTube. It's been a sensation. These guys are talented. Well, apparently, I tell you, you talk about dedication about me waking up at 3 a.m. The guy that I met on the bus, one of my good friends now that I'm very good friends with, meeting on the bus, his name is Trevor. Shout out to Trevor. I definitely appreciate his enthusiasm and getting me fired up for this trip again. Well, he actually knows these people. They're from he's from Salisbury, Maryland. He made a trip up to Towson to get ready to go on the bus trip to go. And he's coming. He's driving from Salisbury, Maryland to Towson to get on this bus trip to leave by 5:30 a.m. on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so definitely kudos to him. And I want to give a shout-out. So he actually said he's very good friends with these people who made these videos, and they're very talented, and they were actually just posted on my Facebook. So if, like I said, I don't know what in the call what we're allowed and what we can't do, but if it's all right with you, Brandon, I'd like to add that as closing out the show and bring on Brady because we're not scared.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's add it right in. If they put it on YouTube, I mean, it's kind of free free for anybody to hear. So, yeah, let's definitely add that in. Bring on Brady. Bring him on again. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Bring on Brady 0.2 and 2.0, I should say. And we're not scared at the call. And Ravens divisional playoffs, let's go, man.
All right, very cool. If you want to continue to talk to Josh or I, we are both on Twitter. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can tweet to me at Italian GQ52.
Very cool. And I brought this, I always bring this up to you guys about telling us what you think of the show and everything on Twitter. And the show's also on Facebook and everything. But somebody brought something up to me this past weekend, and they said that they do their own podcast, and they said it's a successful podcast. I don't know how you judge whether a podcast is successful or not, because let me just put this out there. I love podcasting. It's one of my favorite things to do. I absolutely love the fact that I get to talk about the Ravens with one of my good friends, and we get to do it every single week. I look forward to it every single week. If you're judging a podcast by how many hits or how much money and sponsorship you're getting, you're doing podcasts for the wrong reasons. Okay. I understand that it would be awesome if Josh and I got paid to do this. I would absolutely love to talk to Josh every single day about the Ravens and get paid to do it. But we do this because we love to do it. That's what podcasting is all about. It's all about bringing a personality, bringing your own voice to it. And if you're going to say that a certain podcast is more successful than another podcast, you don't know what you're judging, okay? Because if I got two hits, if it was just Josh or I downloading this every single week, I would still do this show every single week because I love to do it and because I love the Ravens, all right? So if you want to say one podcast is more successful than the other, that's fine, but you're judging it for the wrong reasons, okay? I love the fact that we get thousands of hits on this show. I love the fact that there's so many Ravens fans across the world that listen to this. Absolutely great. Whether they were here or not, I want them to be, but if they weren't here, I'd still be doing this show because I love the podcast and I love to talk about it. So to me, this is a successful podcast because there's passion, there's a lot of fire and drive, and I get to talk to my buddy about something that I enjoy watching. So that's my little rant here about podcasting and whether something's successful or not. To me, this is a success because I get to talk to Josh about the Ravens every single week, and you guys hear it. This is free audio for everyone to listen to. That's what I love about podcasts. So I'm going to get off my podcast pedestal now and get back to what we're really talking about here. You can go to BrandoCash.com and check out our show and what other shows BrandoCash Entertainment does. You can also check out videos and photos there. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash and like us over there. You get information about this show, all the other shows from BrandoCash Entertainment. Plus, you can also go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast and check us out there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will know. You'll be the first to know. That's when we'll post the link. You can check us out. We are free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Now, like I just said, we do the show for free. You guys download it for free. Let people know about it. Let people know that you enjoy the Ravens and you listen to podcasts, you listen to The Call, and you'd like it to other people to share in that enjoyment of listening to it. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you're social on the web, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I think they're going to the Super Bowl. I listen to The Call, and you should too. We have no sponsors. We do this because we love this team, and we get to say what we want because we just do this for fun. So everybody out there, I thank you so much for listening to us. I think because Josh and I talk every week and because you guys listen to it, this show is a success. So thank you to everybody out there. But Josh, get us ready. Here we go. We're up against the Patriots this Saturday up in Foxborough. Get us ready the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, man. And that was a heartfelt speech, man, full of passion, full of life. And let's get after it, man. The pregame speeches of all pregame speeches. Here we go. Ravens-Patriots division around. They said it couldn't be done. They said that the Steelers were going to wipe us out. They said that the Steelers were more mighty than the Ravens. And you know what? January Joe and company and John Harbaugh took his troops in there. And you know what? We just won our first game in playoff history in Heinz Field. We were 0-3 before that. Those ghosts are gone. We're going to go up to Foxborough and bring the same intensity. And you know what, Brady? Exactly like the song says, bring on Brady, because we're not scared once again. And we're going to march to the AFC title game. It's going to be wild. It's going to be wacky. It's going to be, insert any word, it's going to be intensity. It's going to be with fire. It's going to be a war. And I can't wait to get it started. I will be present in Foxborough with all my Ravens pals, new friends, old friends. Really can't wait to get after it. And we'll be bringing home a W, and I'll be coming back to Baltimore with an AFC title berth with this football team. I really can't wait to get it popping. Let's go. Divisional round of the NFL playoffs, AFC style. Let's kick off divisional round weekend, 4:30, NBC, Ravens, Patriots. Let's take down the Giants and the number one seed in the AFC. Let's go up to Foxborough, and let's Ravens fly high with a divisional win and a title berth one Sunday.
They said it couldn't be done. Big Ben had already won, but we'd only just begun. Now they're out of the way, and now they're staying again. 8.5 points to win. The coronation begins, but they're in our way. Defense is holding. Torrey Jones and Marlon Smith, Senior Smith. I know where we're going, baby.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.